Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Good morning, you're listening to Viewpoint. It is Tuesday the 27th of March. Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of today. On the show today, we're going to be going through a variety of subjects, including the latest row in the Labour Party about anti-Semitism. We're going to also be looking at the current situation between the expulsion of diplomats from Russia or the Russian diplomats throughout the world, the West coordinated response about that. Also going to be looking at the Stormy Daniels affair and what that means for US President Trump in the wake of course, the March for Life that took place at the weekend after the Florida gun massacre. We're going to be starting, though, today with a look in the first hour at the situation, developing situation in Barcelona. We have a full house today. Joining me in the studio, back in the studio for the first time, I think, in about a year and a half, we're joined by Ron Yates. Good morning, Ron. Good to have you with us on the show.
Good morning, Giles, and thank you for your invitation.
No problem at all. Andres Gallardo is here as well, bringing his own look at the Barcelona situation.
Good morning, Giles.
Mike Senker is in. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Giles.
And former ABQ correspondent Nathan Thomas. Good morning, Nathan.
What a big group. We're popular all of a sudden.
We are indeed. It's like being back in a debating thing at the university or college or reform court school or wherever we were as well. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, if you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official. And we Twitter. We are at TRE. Talk is good. Let's have a look at the major headlines, though, today in the UK and elsewhere. In the UK, obviously, they're looking mainly at the situation between Russia and the rest of the world. Mass expulsion of Russian diplomats is the lead for most newspapers. World Unites Against Russia is the headline from the Daily Express. And the Mirror has Putin the pariah. The Daily Telegraph says the unprecedented show of solidarity outstripped even Downing Street's expectations. The Independent website. So some of the countries, like the Baltic states and Poland, were expected to show their traditional antipathy towards Russia, but the actions of Germany, France and Italy demonstrate the level of disquiet over the Salisbury poisonings. What is particularly pleasing to the government, according to The Spectator, is that Whitehall suspects that one of President Putin's motives for the attack was to test Britain's standing in the world post-Brexit. Would the UK's European Union allies stick with a Britain that had rejected them at the polls? The answer, it says, is a loud and clear yes. The I attributes this to what it calls Theresa May's patient diplomacy, and it says that she can allow herself a small pat on the back for the remarkable achievement of lining up so much of the West behind Britain. We'll look at that later. Another story we're going to be looking at later on the show is the demonstration outside Parliament by Jewish groups who accuse Jeremy Corbyn of failing to tackle anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. It's providing the lead in the Times and the Mail today. The Mail says Parliament Square has seen some extraordinary protests, but surely none like the one yesterday by Britain's Jewish community. The sight of so many MPs from both sides of the Commons showing their support for the protesters was remarkable. The new statement says that it spotted more than 30 Labour MPs in the crowd, and the Jewish Chronicle reports that turnout included a broad section of the community who responded to the call for the protest at only 24 hours notice. That is a subject we'll be looking on later in today. But we're going to start today's programme with the latest developments coming out of Catalonia and Barcelona with the arrest at the weekend of pro-independent separatist leader Carles Puigdemont, arrested in Germany on his way back to Denmark, I believe. It sparked protests in Barcelona on Sunday evenings, 100 people injured in clashes. I, for one, was watching the programmes, watching the TV over the evening and watching, obviously, pro-independent, saying this was a return to the dark days of Francoism, at which we hand over to Andres. Andres, your take on the situation so far?
Well, my take on this is that, as I said before, this is not going away. It has continued to be a problem, and it will continue to be a problem. It is a soap opera. any writer would be proud of what's been happening, because it's completely unbelievable. I mean, this leader of the independence movement, Pucci, as I call him, firstly disappeared to Belgium to hide, knowing that extradition from Belgium would be more difficult. When he saw himself that there was no Euro order of arrest, started to get a bit cocky and started travelling around Europe, basically doing conferences and slagging off Spain and its government. Eventually, the judge was in a position where he could order an arrest warrant. As it happened, he was caught in Germany, which is probably the worst country that he could be caught in, because Germany has got very stringent laws with regards to the type of crime that he has committed in Spain. And chances are he'll be extradited to Spain in the coming weeks, and he'll have to stand trial, which is what you do, what happens to someone who breaks the law, and that's basically what happened. The problem is that the 2 million supporters back in Catalonia, they feel done by all this, and they're starting to protest yet again. The more radical side of the protesters are the ones that they're now causing trouble all around Catalonia. Only today, some roads are closed in Barcelona and other parts of the region, causing a lot of problem and distress. Now, what I don't understand is, having seen how all this has failed, politicians take a little bit of responsibility and backtrack and try to put things back as it should, which is within the law, trying to work towards solving all these problems.
Well, the Catalan Parliament has said they're going to have a special meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. Roger Torrent of the ERC, the Catalan Republican Left, said they're meeting to discuss the next move. Gerard Gomez, the deputy in the Catalan Republican Left, said they're going to address the extreme difficulty of the current situation. Puigdemont was arrested in Germany. Faced with this intolerable situation, we have called a plenary session to discuss it. The session is to defend the political rights of all deputies and to achieve an investiture as soon as possible. Meantime, Torrent said that no judge has the legitimacy to persecute the president of all Catalans. The state is attacking the heart of democracy and putting at risk the values that Europe was built on. Nathan?
I think the one thing that's interesting about this, I had thought that Spain a while ago had given up or pulled back or whatever you do, canceled the European arrest warrant. So I was surprised when he was arrested, because I thought that had at least, you know, for the time being, gone away. But, you know, somehow he's ended up being arrested by Germany. I think there is a lot of consternation probably going on in the Spanish government right now, questioning the idea of, do we really want him back? The obvious answer would be, of course, this is a criminal, we put him on trial, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the one thing that is going to happen, if he is brought back from Germany, in this case, to Spain, you know, in handcuffs and put in jail and put on trial, what it's going to do is keep Puigdemont and the whole issue in, you know, front page news, in the spotlight. The demonstrations will continue. I think Spain was in many ways fairly happy that he was staying far away in Belgium and, you know, not really being in the spotlight. In fact, some people over the weekend were saying he did this trip to, I think it was Finland, and the other places he's gone, simply because he was becoming an unknown factor sitting in Belgium doing nothing, and did this to crank it up. I don't know whether he expected that he would end up getting arrested, because, as I said, I thought the European arrest warrant had been canceled, although Spain said if he came back to Spain, he would be arrested. So I'm not exactly sure how this happened, but I do think there is a controversy, and it's not probably going to be public, over whether Spain really wants him back or would rather he just stayed far away.
I think The guy is broken the law, and he has to answer for doing that. You can't say, well, we're going to keep him out of the spotlight, so let him be. You can't do that. You have to be responsible for what you've done, and then you have to face trial. The
problem is, if he is back, he's going to cause more problem both in Catalonia and for the Spanish government and everything else. I think they were probably happier to just let him sit in Belgium and say, yes, if he comes back, we'll get him, but we don't have to worry about that now.
Yeah, but you can't hold the state to ransom because you don't want to. You have to. The state has to face it. The judge has been very clever here because he did issue an arrest warrant until he realized that he could only be extradited on lesser charges for misusing of public funds. So he pulled it out. Now, he was in a position where he could then have another arrest warrant for the higher charges, in this case rebellion charges, and he tried to escape by instead of flying back from Helsinki, he drove, and obviously the police were into him, and they waited until he was in Germany because it was quite strategic that he would be arrested in Germany, and this had to happen. The problem is that the separatists in Parliament in Barcelona are now saying that they want to elect him president yet again, a guy who is, before he was in Brussels, now he's in a cell in Germany, and they keep banging on about wanting him to be president instead of saying, okay, let's choose someone who can actually do the job and let's start moving forward and get this conflict and this confrontation out of the system. But they won't do that. It's just like they're the one move from that position of confrontation against the state. And the damage that that's doing to Catalonia is unbelievable, not only socially, but financially, is a disaster. And all the figures that are coming out from the economic performance of the region are terrible. They're doing that to themselves. It's like...
people who've got commercial interests in that are just going to move away. They don't want to be involved in that sort of thing.
They are moving away, and there is less and less investment. And so, these people are just really, I don't understand them. Having said that, from the point of view of a citizen or a spectator, it is very entertaining.
Yes, it is. And if he is brought back in handcuffs and, you know, put on trial, and this is a daily story for heaven knows how long a trial like that would last, it's going to, you know, be even more entertaining for longer. And my only question is, does the Spanish government, because it's not only hurting Catalonia, it's hurting all of Spain, because if, again, Catalonia, no, there's no argument about it. A lot of Spain's business and so on is done in Catalonia. A lot of the money, you know, generated is in Catalonia. If that's not happening, it hurts all of the country. And I think, you know, the Spanish government, for the most part, would like this to go away. And when he was in Belgium, it seemed, at least for, you know, outside of Catalonia itself, it seemed to have calmed down an awful lot. This is just going to crank it right back up if indeed he is brought back and put on trial.
Let's just look at what the Spanish government said coming out of Madrid. Interior Minister Juan Ignacio Zoido said yesterday that the Catalan separatist leaders currently in custody because they're there, quote, they are there not because of their ideas, but because of their serious acts, of which they were repeatedly warned by the justice system. Deputy Prime Minister Soraya Sáenz de Santamaría said that Puigdemont's arrest is good news, her quotes, not mine, because it proves that institutions are working and that, quote, we are all equal before the law and that nobody can keep laughing at the justice system indefinitely. So Madrid seems to be saying, you know, you can't be running around Europe being a thorn in the side of our institutions.
Publicly, they have no... I mean, they have to say that, yes, he's a criminal in their estimation. We have to bring him back. We have to put him on trial. But realistically, like I say, behind the scenes, and they're never going to say this publicly, but I would guess there is a fairly strong question of, gee, now we've got to do this, and is this really going to be the best thing for us?
It's the Assange
factor. But they're going to be stuck with it.
It's the Assange factor, isn't it? He would have been better stuck in an embassy somewhere, a hold up somewhere, being quiet, maybe declaring from a balcony every 2 or 3 months, rather than having to bring him back to Barcelona. Because if he, or in Madrid, if he goes to trial in Madrid or wherever he goes to trial, there are going to be massive protests.
Of course,
There will be protests, but we have to explain these. It's not the government who's taking this guy to court, it's the judge who's taking him to court. There's separation of powers in Spain. Okay. So they are completely independent. So although the Catalans will tell you that no, they're influenced by the government, but they're not really. That's something that has to be clear.
Ron wants to come in on a point here, I believe. Ron.
Just listening to the conversation, you know, not only in Spain, but around the world, laws are written as a deterrent to stop people from continuing on. And it was mentioned earlier, there's over 2 million Catalonians, separatists, up in that area. How long is it going to take for one of those people to take over Puigdemont's position and move in as their new leader? And the same thing continues on, and this debate and the battles and the riots and everything continue.
Isn't the opposition leader in prison as well?
There's 2 million people that are part of that separatist movement. So how long is it going to take before one of those people steps up to the front, to the fore, and takes over that position, and somebody else is doing it? And then, like I said, the reasons that laws are written, they're written as a deterrent. So, if there's no punishment for this fellow who is being charged with the misappropriation of funds and whatever number of other criminal acts that are against the law, he needs to be punished for that. I mean, we have extradition agreements around the world with different countries to bring people back in when they break the law. Before I came over here, I came over from Canada, and before I came over, for the couple of months prior to arriving here, I was asked over and over again in Canada by my friends if I was still coming to Spain because of all the riots. I mean, the press just blows things so far out of proportion sometimes. And the way some of these people were talking, there's people with machine guns on the streets. I said, I'm not going to the U.S., I'm going to Spain. You know? sorry, Nathan, I couldn't help that.
And we've got a caller on the line, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's Boring from Los Boliches.
Good morning, John.
Morning. Just to say, I think the vast majority of people would think that the Spanish government, whose constitution really comes from Franco times and hasn't really been changed, and it should be changed, that the vast amount of people think they're abusing the judiciary, they're abusing the European arrest warrant, and you haven't mentioned yet, I'm sure you will, that there's another Catalonian who's a teacher in a Scottish university. She's handed herself in. I have my doubts. I'd be very disappointed if Scotland sent her back. Germany's slightly different, but I think there's many, many Germans who are thinking this is a ridiculous situation to have a 10, 30-year jail sentence for sedition and rebellion for having a debatable illegal referendum. It's absolutely ridiculous. I think the Spanish government's making a total arse of themselves, and I think Europe in general would be very anti them, and I think most of the European countries would not send them back. So I've got no opinion on the Catalonian situation. That's no review on that at all. But I just think the way the Spanish government is handling it, including the king, which really surprised me, is disgraceful and really totally stupid. And they're talking about using the funds, misuse of funds. My God. I mean, how many people have lived in Spain all these years? That doesn't include me because I don't. But how many of these mayors and whatever have been abusing funds? How many of governments been abusing funds? Even Rajoy has been rumoured to have 20 million stashed away, rightly or wrongly. So, you know, it seems ridiculous. I know your chap there is very much anti-Catalonian, but I think Spanish people have to look at the actual laws they have and change their constitution. As I say, it emanates really from a Franco time, and they'll bring that up against the present government and throw it in the air. So I just think they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Disgraceful and stupid, as the king says, John, shooting themselves in the foot as well. Andres.
Right, I'd like to correct a couple of points the caller has just made. Firstly, I am Catalan, so I'm not anti-Catalonia because I'd be against myself. That's the first point. The second point you've made is about the constitution being something left over from Franco. I have to correct you on that. The Spanish constitution was a consensus of all parties in 1978, including the nationalists, the Basques and the Catalans. And that constitution is allowed Spain to become a modern country, members of all the international bodies, including the European Union, NATO, United Nations, and everything else. So there's no remains from Franco era here. The Catalans like to think that we are under a dictatorship, but there's nothing further from the truth. With regards to misuse of public funds, they have used public funds to promote the independence campaign and pay for the pseudo-referendum that they did on the 1st of October and so on. And yes, there is a lot of misuse of public funds in Spain, as we all know, mayors and regional governments and everything else. But at the end of the day, most of them are caught and most of them are tried, and there's an awful lot of people in jail for misusing public funds.
Pseudo-referendum, that's the first time I've heard that one used in a viewpoint. Let's go live to the lines. Good morning, Cooley. You're live on TRE. Thanks for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Casablanca.
Morning, Kate.
Phoning up in direct opposition to the previous caller. That was absolutely rubbish. As the member of the panel has just spoken, the constitution was drawn up in post-Franco time, and that's really quite critical. If someone tries to undermine the constitution, I mean, for anyone with experience of watching America, their constitution is like sort of lifeblood, or you can use it that way. And, you know, the seeming impossibility of redesigning, is it not Article 2, Reservation 2?
Second Amendment, perhaps.
Thank you, Second Amendment, exactly what I'm looking for. I mean, which is the obvious way of dealing with the gun laws issue. But it's treated like holy blood, holy grail. Similarly, a recently drawn up constitution for the 20th century is not so lightly to be disregarded as the American Constitution in this case, which was drawn up for a completely different century and all the rest of it. I.e., the Spanish government has been intractable in different styles of acting, but it's basically acting within the law. The Valencian government and President of the Valencian government proposed some kind of complete review, but in a calm, peaceful way, and that hasn't been taken up. And I think that would be a way through.
I can't piece away. Thanks for that, Kate. Got lots of calls on the line, as I imagined we would do. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. Brian, Los Polices.
Morning, Brian.
I just want to... Kate, in a way, stole the march on me. She said a lot of things that I wanted to say as well, so I won't repeat it. But I want to defend strongly the right of the King of Spain to get involved. Constitution is the word that Kate used, and that's absolutely right. And he used it in the same sense, maybe not quite so dramatically, but he used it in the same sense as his father, Juan Carlos, got very much involved, you know, in Franco's days. And it's still, you know, quite correctly said that the King of Spain saved Spain at that time. So, you know, let's get our priorities right here. It is a constitutional crisis when these things happen, and the King's got every right to be involved. That's all I want to say, really.
Brian, thanks for your call in. Going live to the lines again. Busy this morning. 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, John, very briefly.
Yes, John.
Just to say, I'm fully aware that the Constitution was post-Franco, but it was very early after Franco, and I think it should have changed. I don't think many countries would have call this sedition and rebellion. As regarding the king, I was only shocked that he wasn't more conciliatory and to try and get things together. Purely that he wasn't conciliatory in his speech. I was quite shocked. I thought it would be a much more conciliatory speech. Purely that. And effectively, I don't think too many European countries will have a 10 to 30-year sentence, which I think is making a laughing stock of the Spanish and the Spanish constitution. That's just a view.
Just, it makes me laugh, everyone who seems to say they want to change the constitution, but nobody says what they want to change from the constitution. What has to be changed? I don't understand. There's nothing wrong with the constitution.
Put it this way. Look at the way. This is what you're possibly falling into. And I'm very pro-Spanish, obviously. But effectively, you've had a situation with the Basques where you had all the hate and all the killings and all the murders. Now, they are now getting more money from the Spanish government. So you're almost sort of saying you're far better off fighting and killing and murdering than you are in a more peaceful way, which is Catalonia's doing. Maybe Catalonia is now going to think it's far better off to really rebel. They hardly call it rebellion when they're just having a sort of protests. And I think Spain is making a mistake. I mean, I think they're going to have to row back in some way. And I don't think the European Union would be that sympathetic. It's only a view.
No, of course. But that's why it's called viewpoint. the Basque country has got a different financing system that it has always had, and that it was agreed as soon as Franco died, because it was a historical right that they agreed, and that's the way they're financed. There's no doubt that there's an element of money involved in this, because the Catalans have been constantly claiming that the central government robs them of their wealth. But we, in a country, you have to have a certain amount of a distribution of the wealth throughout the country in solidarity with regions that are not as rich.
I agree with you there, not a doubt. That's perfectly normal. But what happened is the Basque region just recently, the government have given them extra money. They're now a taker rather than a. And I guess there's a lot of greed going on throughout Europe, whether it be Northern Italy or whatever the case may be. So I do agree with you in that case. Obviously, it's the same as saying that London and the South should not give anything to the North, the West, or Wales, or Ireland, or Scotland.
Well, that's another debate, John, that I really don't want to stir up at this time of the day.
Yeah, I agree. But what I'd like to know about this, but what's going to happen with this Spanish Catalan lady in Scotland, who's been arrested from the arrest warrant for her, who's teaching at St Andrews University? I don't think the Scots will send her back in a million years.
It's not down to the Scots; it's down to the judge. That's the problem, that we're confusing governments and the judicial system.
The Scottish judiciary will actually is independent of the UK of the English judiciary, and they will decide. Of course, the judge will decide. But obviously, there's always pressure from governments, whatever we may think that judiciary is independent. Many, many cases, governments do apply pressure. We'd be naive not to think so. But I don't think that will happen to be the case. I don't think the Scottish judiciary will send her back.
We'll have to wait and see what the judge says.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for your call in there, John. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official, if you wish to leave a post.
This is Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
You're listening to a live and lively Viewpoint, as always, talking all things Catalonia this morning. And as we would imagine, it's been getting a little bit heated, and discussions and viewpoints. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official, and on Twitter, we are TRE Talk Is Good. Looking at where we are at the moment, in case you're wondering what's happening with the rest of the people involved in this saga, I think is the right word for it. The parliamentary rules in Barcelona indicate that candidates need to be physically attend the investiture sessions in order to be voted in, which made the remote appointment impossible for the then Brussels-based Puigdemont. Jordi Sanchez was in pre-trial custody, and the judge denied his request for permission to attend the session. Jordi Turull, who was out on bail, did attend the session, but failed to secure the support of a small but necessary separatist party, and by the time the second vote came around 2 days later, he was already in pre-trial detention in connection with a probe into rebellion and a misuse of public funds during the independence bid. Where do we go from here? The head of the Catalan Socialist Party has suggested the need for a national unity government in Catalonia where all parties would be represented. Miquel Iqueta said national unity governments are there for exceptional situations, and I can't think of a more exceptional situation than this one. National unity government, Nathan?
I'm not sure quite what they mean by a national unity government, whether you're going to put in the government people who are opposed to independence in Catalonia. If you do that, I mean, then you'll have a Catalonia government who probably won't be able to function very well with the things that governments normally do, because they're going to be fighting among themselves over the issue of independence, because that in Catalonia at the moment is, you know, the issue.
I think he's up with the fairies, this guy, isn't he? Do you think he's going to get a government of consensus with all the parties? He's mad.
Well, I believe that a great basic agreement amongst all political parties to get out of this exceptional situation. The only red line is respect for the rule of law, some might argue.
Giles is up with the fairies. Trust me on this. It's not going to happen. And look what the independent parties have done today, just today. They have proposed Puigdemont yet again to be the president. And he's not in Brussels now. He's in a cell in Germany. So they are not... They're going round in a circle. They don't want to get out of the circle. They just want to confrontation, constant confrontation. And in the meantime, the normal people out in the street are the ones who are suffering. And it doesn't bother me because I love the entertainment. Don't get me wrong, you know.
We've got a caller on the line, 952-784-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, morning, Sharon Alicante. I think that the 30-year sentence for sedition is ridiculously OTT. I think Rajoy could have handled this situation slightly more diplomatically, because I understand there is a process by which you can veer towards debate on changing the constitution. That said, I'm broadly on the side of the Spanish national government in that, not normally, but on this one I am, in that I worry about the UK, particularly the UK. I don't know about the Canadian media. The chap said in Canada they thought he was going to be coming to a war zone. In the UK, our media are quite well renowned for taking one side. And listening and reading recently in the UK press and various other outlets, I am concerned that they are only giving one side of the story, that they are only giving the Catalans a say. They never, ever, ever, and I'm appalled at the BBC yet again, not surprised, but appalled, they never, ever talk about that in the classrooms in Catalonia, they were feeding propaganda to the kids. They weren't teaching them Castellan. They were teaching them Catalan and English. That they were, the history was one-sided. That is awful. You cannot do this to children in the modern age and call yourself a modern setup. So not one item of news has included and the misappropriation of funds, and as Adria of, I'm sorry, sir, I forgot your name.
Andreas, yes.
Has said that a lot of the mayors are being put away and they are being punished for it, but it looks to me as though this is going to be a difficult one for the government to bang them up easily. But 30 years, I think, is over the top for this. But thanks a lot. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks for that one, Sharon. Can we call in 952-784-4000?
I have to agree with the caller in the point that the Catalan separatists have been very good at promoting internationally their cause, and I have to be critical of the central government. They've been awful at defending the law and what they're doing to uphold the law. They are terrible at PR. Absolutely. I mean, they're not putting the point across to the media, the European media especially, who are the only ones who seem to be interested, at where the separatists are a bit better. I mean, to stop... Rajoy doesn't even speak English, you know, where all the separatists are quite fluent in English and are able to explain in the interviews. I've seen them in the BBC, I've seen interviews in The Guardian, I've seen, you know, so they are putting the word about where the central government here, they've done nothing to defend their position internationally.
We've got an email coming in here on studio@tre.radio from Peter, who says, the region, Catalonia, is wealthy because it is part of Spain, as has been demonstrated created by the flight of businesses since the controversy started. An independent Catalonia would not be anything like as wealthy as it is within Spain, so the financial arguments are an irrelevance. That's because people are saying, oh, well, Catalonia is the breadbasket of Spain.
Well, it is. I don't think there's any question of that. I mean, it is a very rich region, and a lot of business is there. A lot of business is done there. What, you know, the flight of business for the most part has been, moving the official headquarters of the business, which again will in the long run hurt Catalonia, because if your business is headquartered in Catalonia, whatever taxes you pay would be paid to Catalonia. If you have moved out of Catalonia with your headquarters, even though the factory is still there, the workers are still there, whatever, you're going to be paying taxes to Madrid as opposed to Catalonia. So Catalonia will be hurt, you know, to that extent. But it's one of these situations where it's not just that. It's, you know, could they exist realistically out of Catalonia as an independent country out of the EU, which everybody has said they would be if they somehow did gain independence? They could try to join. Whether they would be able to, whether they would qualify, and even if they qualified, you're talking about a process that now is taking years for countries to do that, and you know how they could function. Or whether they could function, I think, is the major question. And if there was a real referendum, which, again, this one was very one-sided simply because the only people who voted in it were the people who wanted independence, the people who wanted to stay with Spain, listened to the Spanish government, who said, this doesn't count, this doesn't matter. So they said, why bother voting? And they didn't. So the numbers that come out of the October 1st voting on independence, I think most everyone agrees, were very one-sided because only one side was voting. But the question is, could, you know, and very serious one for Catalonians as well as the rest of Spain, is could it really exist as an independent country?
Mike. Okay. I've sat here for the last 45 minutes listening to and being educated about Catalonia, and I'll come up with one question. Okay.
All right, we're waiting for this one, Mike.
Why? What is there to gain? What is the big plus side for them being independent?
Well, what they say is they are now, and have been, you know, for years, taking money that is Catalonian money, that is made in Catalonia, that should be used in Catalonia to better Catalonia. It's being taken, as happens in every country. Rich areas put money into the national treasury. The national treasury, you know, spreads it out among those who are less fortunate, less competent, less whatever, just don't have the, whether it's raw materials, whether it's business, whatever, and spreading the money out. And one of the main arguments, I think, from Catalonia is a financial argument that we're sending more to the central government than we're getting back from it.
And they could survive, could they, totally independent?
No, I don't think they could.
No, that's what I'm saying.
This has always been one of the big things.
What I'm listening to is, it's like, I want this, I want it now. And then all of a sudden, you get it, and they go, well, what do we do now?
Well, this is the thing. They're not going to get it. No, what happened with Scotland. I mean, Scotland, yeah. I think, in the end, when it actually came down to the voting, I mean, enough people in Scotland decided that, no, this is not a good idea. And if you had a real, a legally recognized referendum, I don't think anybody is really sure that the independence movement would win. But the government, I think, is not about to risk the possibility by saying that, yes, it's okay, have a referendum, partially because of the idea of whether Catalonia separates or not is a question not just for Catalonians. It's a question for all of Spain, because Catalonia is a very important part of Spain as a whole. So why shouldn't the rest of the people have a say in whether part of it, goes away?
I'll explain to you why they want to be independent. And this is the truth that is behind all this. For the last 30 years, these guys have been robbing the system blind. They call it the government or the institution of the 3%. So anything, any contract, anything that, to the last pencil, anything that went through the government, they have to pay a commission of 3% on everything. They were caught. The ex-president was caught with money in Andorra and Switzerland and everything else. The whole system was shown to the public. And they decided that the best way of getting away with it is to become independent. And that's the truth behind all these.
So basically it comes down to what I was thinking all the way. It's just crooked.
Yes.
Okay. I only wish that we had the webcam up and running at that point, Andres, because I've never seen somebody so animated in that. Going over to Ron on this point as well, Ron, because obviously in Canada there's been somewhat of an independence issue as well.
We did have several years ago with one of our provinces, the province of Quebec, which is the only French province in the country. That's the official language is French. The rest of us are English, other than New Brunswick, which is bilingual. But Quebec had the referendum, and I don't think that all of the facts were given to the people that were voting at the time at this referendum. Quebec gets more money from our federal government than any of the other provinces. Billions of dollars that they get annually, supplied by provinces like Alberta and Ontario and the rest of the country. We all get our share of the pot, but Quebec is the major recipient of that money. And I think a lack of information breeds that sort of contempt for the official government of the country, you know. And I think if everybody had all of the information and factual, not necessarily Fox News or any other crap, for lack of a better word.
We've just gone past the 10 o'clock watershed. You're okay there with that one.
If any time a situation like this comes up, if everybody had all of the facts and we knew exactly what was going on, I don't think there'd be all this controversy. I think that people would go with what's going to make them the most comfortable.
But nobody ever has all the facts.
Never. No, and a lot of times, and I hate to quote this man, but false facts.
I like to call them alternative facts.
Alternative truths, and that's a whole new thing. Going to the emails for a minute on studio@tre.radio. From Gino, who says, why don't they just put in a Hess store like they did in Marbella until they can sort all this mess out? And also one in as well from Tim, who says, how many millions have the independentistas squandered in this debacle, and how many more billions will they lose with major industries taking their business elsewhere? Meanwhile, an email in from Magalai in Javier says, just a reminder that the three independent parties got 48%. The three independents got 48% of the vote. Sorry, and that email has just disappeared as somebody's come in with an answer to Hannah's crossword. Back after this.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Viewpoint with myself, Giles Brown. Talk Radio's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests, live and lively as always. I'm joined in the studio by Ron Yates, Andres Gallardo, Mike Senka, and Nathan Thomas. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio@tre.radio is the email and the Facebook page. If you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official. TRE Talk is Good is our Twitter as well. Don't forget you can listen to these show again at 6 o'clock today, and also available as a download off the website, which is tre.radio. This is also available as an app. You can download us on iTunes or by Google Plus, and also you can listen to us on Spotify, which is a new feature we have. You can listen to the hours of TRE on Spotify, all part of Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. We're talking Barcelona, Catalonia, and where we go from now in the last 6 minutes of the first hour of the show. It's going to be, I mean, they're not going to do anything now with Puigdemont until after the Easter holidays. So we're not going to see, we can see protests, but I don't think we'll see much politics over the next, or perhaps we will see more politics over the next couple of days.
It's possible, but again, Easter is a big holiday here. Germany has 60 days, I think, to actually, on their side, make up their mind whether or not they are going to extradite him. And like I say, I think there is a lot of back and forth within the Spanish government and talking to the Germans. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are some suggestions of, well, maybe you don't want to extradite him right now. I don't know. It's hard to tell, but it just seems that bringing him back and putting him on trial, and I understand what's being said about this, you know, it is the law. He is, in the eyes of the Spanish government, a criminal. He needs to be put on trial and all of that. But it's a question of, you know, does he need to be put on trial right now? And is it going to, for the general situation, really be better? Or is it just going to make the general situation, not his particular situation, but generally, is it going to make this issue more inflammatory and, you know, really more dangerous for an awful lot of people?
And we've got a caller on the line. We've got a couple of calls on the line now. 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. Am I the one of the couple?
Yes, you're at the top of the pile, Peter. Good morning to you.
Okay, good morning. Make it quick, because you're going to break. Slightly different angle on this. Your panellist said this was about corruption, and yet more than 50% of the people seem to agree that they want to separate from Spain. We live in a world at the moment where less than 5% of the population of the total planet live in a democracy. In 2015, it was closer to 8%. Spain was one of the most democratic countries in the world. It's now a flawed democracy because of this. Anyone who can charge someone with sedition rebellion in the 21st century, to me, is ridiculous. But it seems that the world, the whole world, most of the people within the world want some sort of independence, want identity, and want to keep their culture. But the politicians seem to think that globalization is the answer. So the way I look at it, whether the Constitution is right or wrong, rebellion and sedition is so antique it's untrue. But, like I said, Spain have lost their democracy rating over this, which if you go on to Democracy Watch, and the economists do it, there's a Canadian group that do it, but Spain has dropped from the top six down into the teens. Now, there's only 5 or 6 countries in the world that live in a full democracy. And as I said, less than 5% of the population of the world live in a democracy. And it seems to me that no matter where in the world lately a vote happens, no matter what way the vote goes, if it doesn't match with globalization, then it doesn't continue. I'll leave you on that, Gerald.
Thank you for that one, Peter. Calling again, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kay Costa-Blanca again.
Yes,
it's a new point, but it answers one of the panel's questions. What would they get if they got independence? And it is a really funny joke, this. The Catalans' big claim is that they're having to spend money to support other parts of Spain. And this is normal in any kind of state. You know, the richest pay more than the poor. However, if they got what they wanted and were independent of Spain, and they got the continued membership of the EU, which is not likely, but they would be in a worse position because they would be in the rich Catalonian province, or, you know, independent, would be expected to pay out for a whole lot of Eastern European, etc., parts of Europe. I don't think they thought it through and done the sums.
Indeed. Kate, thanks for your call in there. 952-78-4000. Into the last 2 minutes of this hour. Andres, I know that you have to leave us after this hour, so let's hear where you think we're going to go then over the next couple of days, months. And can you see what can you imagine the scenes are going to be like if Puigdemont is brought back to Spain? They're not going to bring him back to Barcelona, surely.
Fortunately, they're not going to move their position. They've announced that Puigdemont will be the next candidate to be president again. But although the court has already said that he cannot be there physically, he cannot be elected. They're going to keep banging the drum. What's I think is going to happen is that the more radical side of the independent supporters are going to hit the streets. We saw that in Barcelona the other day. They're doing it today again, according to the press and radio reports. And that's going to continue because, as Nathan said, it will be in the limelight when he gets extradited, when the trial begins, and so on. And there will be more and more protests in the region. Unless the independent politicians get the responsibility of backing down, getting a president elected, and getting with the business of running the region, that's not going to end.
So, as the saying goes, may you live with interesting times. Looking for some interesting times coming ahead, coming up ahead in Barcelona. Nathan, just with 10 seconds to go, your thoughts on where we go with this one?
I think it's going to continue, and eventually, and it may be a long, long time, but it will end when enough Catalonians get tired of the conflict and the confusion that they have now.
Right then, coming to the end of the first half of Viewpoint. Back after the national and international news. See you later.